Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Most High, our power is one. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power is one. That is our credo and our Shema that was known for our people throughout history in all of the scrolls that depict the sojourn of our people that have been compiled into what you know today as the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. The biggest secret in the whole world, that you, my brothers and sisters, are the people of the book. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you here on, I like to call, Babylon Talk Radio. It's Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host and your brother, Elder V, and all praises today to the Most High, for this is the seventh day that the Most High, our Father Abba, set aside, set apart, sanctified it, called it holy, and told us that he made this day for us to rest, to be refreshed, renewed, illuminated, and enlightened through his word and his scriptures, and to focus solely on him. To forget about the cares of this world and to separate ourselves from the cares of this world. No sales, no shopping, no cooking, no worries. just refreshing and focusing on him, exhorting one another, and our brothers and sisters being with them and listening and hearing the reading of the law. Before I go any further, let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it. Father, I pray that your spirit stretches out throughout the four corners of the earth and touches my brothers and sisters who strive to become closer to you and to keep these statutes, laws, and commandments. We align ourselves up with your will on this day, and I pray that they are strengthened, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your words and your words alone. We know that man has tried to do away with the part of the book that you wrote with your very finger and say it's done away with, but all praises, we know that your law would never pass, because our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach, who this world calls Jesus Christ, said that not one word will pass away, not one jot until heaven and earth passes away. So we thank you for your law today. We are not a lawless nation. We thank you for the opportunity to right our wrongs and the sins of our forefathers. We ask for forgiveness for those that have broken your laws, statutes, commandments, and covenants out of the greediness and lust of their flesh to desire to be like other people and nations that have no reverence for you, fear, or respect. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you've shed upon us, that we would be enlightened to the fact that the part of the book that you wrote with your finger is in our hearts, and we must be obedient to it, knowing that obedience is better than sacrifice. So today I rebuke every demon that lies and says the laws are done away with. I rebuke every demonic spirit of depression, oppression, and suicide on my brothers and sisters that want to give up because these heathenistic, Gentile, religious-serving traditionalists and pagan-following, pork-eating people are talking about them and making them want to throw in the towel. Give them strength today to be able to stand firm. For you said after we've done all we can to stand anyway. And we stand today on the promises of Isaiah 54, saying 54 and 17, saying that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, we have the right to condemn. And we condemn it now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Send forth your Ruach HaKadosh so that my soldiers will have the strength to stick their chest out a little bit longer. I thank you for another day closer to the wilderness, another day closer to the end of our captivity, and another day closer to the end of the Gentile rule. We thank you. Bless all my brothers that prophesy into the wind today. May it be received, caught, heard, for I know you watch over your word to perform it. So may it be done. We proclaim victory and we say hallelujah to you, hallelujah to the Most High King, to the return of the King. Long live the King. Hallelujah. And all praises be unto you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. So be it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you are doing well. We are assembling ourselves all over this nation, all over this world, who respect the Shabbat. And we come together over the airwaves in any way we can, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, to recognize, celebrate, encourage, and lift each other's hearts. Today on Blueprint for Life, and let me establish that for you, the reason that we call it Blueprint for Life, because these laws today are a blueprint of how you should live your life and how to live your life in order to stay above the fray, to stay out of the madness, to experience health and wholeness, to experience peace, solitude, comfort, safety, and joy. These laws establish a blueprint for your life. So any pig, meat, and crab shelling pastor that tell you it's done away with is trying to send your soul to a burning hell and does not have your best interest in mind. He's trying to line his pockets with your money. And that could even be one of these brothers masquerading with a scarf wrapped around his head, talking about he don't eat pork no more, that's trying to get your money and make you think that you're a part of something great, but he's actually leading you to a pit of hell as well. Be ye followers of the word. He has come to lead you and guide you into all truth. But the key is that you must study as an individual to show yourself approved. Even when I speak today, you take notes, you go study it for yourself. Read every book you can get your hand on. You don't never let some other man, especially a stranger of another nation, tell you that that book is done away with or that book is not inspired by God. Every book that they told me was uninspired has inspired me to the point of where I am now because it lines up with Scripture. Everything I've read in the Apocrypha lines up with that KJV Bible. I will not ascribe only to the books that a Nicene council full of paganistic heathens sat in a meeting in a room and decided what they wanted to put in the book and let us read. There are a plethora of books that have been taken away from us. Books that they found in 1948 in the Qumran caves, and they called in the FBI and cordoned off the area and still refused to release what they found in those jars of clay in those caves. They've got them tucked away in a museum over in Israel. And guess who owns them? The Zionist Jews, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds. They're holding on to your records. They don't want you to read that this book tells you that you are the people of the book, according to Deuteronomy 28:68, Psalms 83, Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. These policies and treaties that these people are coming up with are to suppress you and keep you from ever coming into the knowledge. Go read for yourself and allow the Ruach HaKadosh to quicken you and confirm to you that the Apocrypha, the book of the kings of Judah and Israel, the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, the book of Enoch, the book of Maccabees, all these books belong in our hands because they are our records, and these books will confirm that and will line up with your spirit. The book of Jude in the New Testament is not going to speak of the book of Enoch if it wasn't inspired. The book of Samuel is not going to speak of the book of Jasher and Jubilees if it wasn't inspired by the Most High. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, from every one of these books that I've read, I am inspired, and you will be too. All praises to the Most High. We're not in an hour where we have time to play with Satan, his cohorts, which are these other nations, and these strangers, and these false preachers, and these wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's why the title of this show today is Cry Out Louder. Don't stop crying out loud, but cry out louder. The more they persecute you and condemn you, that's the more you should praise the Father. Abba, our great Ahayah, Ashar Ahayah, which is the great I am that I am, the great Yah. We should praise him the more. Do you think because you persecute me and talk about me or talk about my past, I'm going to get silent and shut up? Man, when I think about what Christ, our HaMashiach, our Messiah, went through, and every one of the disciples, and you sitting up here waiting on some holy wings to flap you up into heaven before anything hits because you believe in a rapturous lie and you don't want to go through nothing because you don't have the testicular fortitude or spine to endure. You don't even have faith. I'm worried about what you got to say about what I believe in, which is the Bible. Man, we're going to talk about that today, but I'm not even going through anything close to what the Messiah went through. Talk about me and let me know I'm on the right path. Talk about me. Despise what I'm standing for, because I understand that it's already been prophesied that you will do so, because narrow is the way that leads to this wilderness and paradise. I'm talking about that's in these scriptures, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So trust me, everybody talking about I'm Christian and I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah, they on their way to a burning hell. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going, and everybody that say they Israel is not Israel. So don't get it twisted. This walk takes a real man and a real woman of Yah. It takes somebody who knows this word and somebody who doesn't give a damn about what somebody has to say about them. That's the only people that the Most High is looking for. And we're going to read some of that today, too. He always strengthened his prophets and said, get up, what you running from? He told Elijah, what you hiding from Jezebel for? Are you hiding under this juniper tree? Are you kidding me? Do you know who's with you? Now get your butt back out there. The Most High don't deal with no wimps and no punks, so y'all can talk all you want. Because we will fight you spiritually, but trust, you don't want to come around and have to deal with anything in a physical manner as well. Because we're here and willing to stand for the Most High. But he is our strength. He is our fortitude. He is our fortress. He is our battle axe. And he will not forsake us. All praises to the Most High. So today we're going to get ready to go into the law. I don't have any announcements. I just want to move forward. And this week's lesson as it pertains to the law, before I go into covetousness that deals with the law, and I'm going to talk about covetousness that's in the Ten Commandments. There are 613 laws in the Mosaic laws, but only some 280-something are applicable to us today in our final captivity. America's our final captivity. Throughout our journey and our history, we've always been slaves to Egypt, Persia, Syria, Rome, Greece. We just have always been slaves because we didn't want to do what the Most High told us to do. This is our final captivity, and he's praying that we will have learned our lesson at the end of our 400 years of captivity in this particular country, in this region. But understanding that, we have got to come to the condensation of the 613 to the 10 and practice these in our lives on a daily basis as we grow in grace. And covetousness, I want to focus in on because people don't really understand the seriousness of the sin of covetousness. But before I go into that, let me say some of the scriptures that I always say. Psalms 19 and 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, Solomon, who tried some of everything he can get his hands on with those 700 wives and 300 concubines, drinking, even worshiping other gods and idols, getting his hands on everything. When it was all said and done, he saw it brought him no peace. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what you must understand, because we as believers who are awakened don't sit up every day trying to figure out how much more bacon I can eat, how much of these scriptures I don't have to keep, but we should be like Moses. Show me your glory. What more can I do for you? How can I draw closer to you, Most High? 1 John 2 and 3, one of my favorites. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if we say we love him and we keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you, doesn't even dwell inside you. So you don't want to keep the commandments. You don't have to keep the commandments. You're going to do anything you want to. You're going to be lawless. I'm going to tell you something. After the Gospels, everything written in the Acts is for our learning of the history. But they were writing letters to each other and to the churches to encourage each other. It's just like the books you buy today and the text messages you send. They were put out there to confirm the scriptures that were already written, which was Torah and Tanakh. Tanakh is the prophets and it's prophecy. Daniel is what you see in the book of Revelations. Now, I will say that John got another revelation on the Isle of Patmos that he wrote in Revelations. And a lot of that ties up and lines up with the prophecies of the book of Daniel and Ezekiel. But you have to understand that these prophets were, they didn't have what you have, the so-called New Testament that you swear by. These prophets were reading the Torah, what you call the Old Testament that your pastor tells you not to read and forget about. They were reading, when they went to the temple in Acts 13 and 15, they went to hear the reading of the Old Testament, the Mosaic Laws, the books of Psalms, the books of Jasher and Jubilees, and the book of Maccabees. which is very relevant today. Because how are you going to explain to me in the book of Matthew when our Messiah, who you call Christ, Jesus Christ, was going to the Feast of Dedication? Where are you going to find out about the Feast of Dedication? Guess what? It's only written of in the book of Maccabees when the Maccabean brothers stormed the temple and took back the temple from the Greeks during that time. That's where the Feast of Dedication that's where it came from, and they're going to tell you that's an uninspired book. How else will you know about the Feast of Dedication, which they call the Feast of Lights, that takes place in the Gregorian calendar, the month of December? So nonetheless, you have to understand that when 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Most High and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, when they wrote that, they were referring to what you call the Old Testament because that's all that they had. You're reading what they were writing about what they were reading, and they were reading what you call the Old Testament. You're just reading the letters. What you're reading in the New Testament is akin to me, what I'm doing right now on Blog Talk, or when I write letters to my brothers and sisters of encouragement, exhortation, that confirm what's in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is out of the oracles, is out of the mouth of the prophets and the kings and the Mosaic law. And it shows you what happened when you kept the law and when you didn't keep the law throughout. So you must understand that. Use common sense, common knowledge. All of the disciples and apostles and prophets were writing a testament, and are you reading it? Are you keeping it? And then Paul comes along and causes a lot of confusion, and 2 Peter 3:16 will help you to understand the confusing aspect of Paul's writings, which is why he and Peter's relationship was confrontational, because he didn't agree with his method and approach of teaching. So you have to have knowledge of the Old Testament before you even go to Paul, according to 2 Peter 3:16. There are many times when Paul says, I wish you all could be like me, and I'm just speaking this by permission that the Most High is allowing me to say this. And then he would also, in certain cases, in 1 Corinthians 7 chapter, he would say, this is not the Holy Spirit speaking or the Most High, but this is me speaking. That's like me saying, look, I'm not going to say that this is in the Bible, but I just want to give you my personal opinion on how I feel about it. And y'all getting all in your feelings about that. And we'll fight tooth and nail when I say, give me what was written by the finger of the Most High any day. Don't you sit up here and tell me on first Sunday, pig-eating day, that part of the scripture is done away with. And he actually took Moses to the top of Mount Sinai, and he saw him, and covered his backside and saw his glory and wrote it with his finger. Are you kidding me? And you're going to tell me that's done away with? You are out of your mind. You are deceived, turned over, probably to a reprobate mind, because you're still wrestling with certain sins and pet sins. You haven't even got delivered. You repent every week. That means you're not free. That's not true repentance. I'm moving on to the lesson. First, let me read about Baruch 4:1 so that you understand. And Baruch can be found in the Apocrypha, which they tell you is not inspired. I'm very inspired. Because Baruch 4:1 says, this is the book of the commandments of Yah, and the law that endureth forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. I'm not reading any more of that. I said I would go through 1-5 or 6, but I'm reading that. That's it. All they that keep it shall come to life. You want confirmation of that? Revelations 22:14. Read it in your spare time. Let's move into covetousness, because I want you to understand the seriousness of the sin of covetousness. As it many of you will not experience the kingdom of Ahiah if you don't deal with covetousness. And this whole world promotes covetousness. It's a lust. an eagerness to just have more and never satisfied. So let's take a look at, we're going to look at some of the Bible verses that have to do with covetousness, but it's excessively moral. There was a guy by the name Eric Fromm that wrote some things. But as a secular psychological concept, greed is an inordinate desire to acquire or possess more than one needs. This is why you have what they call hoarders, because this is why you have people that always want to consume and buy, and that's why this world gets you to buy things. This iPhone is old. Go get the new one, and this other one works just fine. You have bought into media and the concept of this world that is converting everyone to be covetous. Why? It will keep you out the kingdom. That's why the world gets you to do that. Those genes are old. That's so last year. That's so old. Oh, that's so out of style. You out of date. That's whack. You need to get with the times. In other words, they're saying you need to get covetous and go to hell. This is just how the world is so deceptive. So the degree of inordinance is related to the inability to control the reformulation of wants. Once desired, needs are eliminated. Now, Eric Fromm wrote this, described greed as a bottomless pit. Well, it will lead to the bottomless pit, which exhausts the person in an endless effort to satisfy the need without ever reaching satisfaction. Every new purse you buy, car you buy, house you buy, you covetous person, will never be satisfied. You know what you got? The keep up with the Jones spirit. It is typically used to criticize those who seek excessive material wealth. Although it may apply to the need to feel more excessively moral, social, or otherwise better than someone else. And they use, covetous people use other people to make themselves feel better. They want to look down on you and gloat in your presence. Look at what you bought from Goodwill and gloat in front of you like, yeah, I went to Neiman and bought this Gucci and I'm wearing this. You'll get there one day. Just pay your tithes. Listen to this. The purpose for greed and any actions associated with it, possibly to deprive others of potential means, perhaps of basic survival and comfort of future opportunities, accordingly, or to obstruct them therefrom, insidious and tyrannical or otherwise having negative connotation. Alternatively, the purpose could be defense or counteraction from such dangerous potential negotiation in matters of questionable agreeability. A consequence of greed activity may be inability to sustain any of the costs and burdens associated with that which has been or is being accumulated, leading to a backfire or destruction, whether of self or more generally. So the level of inordinance of greed pertains to the amount of vanity, malice, of burden associated with it. Just giving you some background on greed. Covetousness is greed. It's an inordinate or insatiable longing, especially for wealth, trying to hit the lotto, thinking money gonna make everything all right, or for status and power. That's what you must understand. Idolatry at its best. It's the worship of money. It's worshiping. It's the love of money. And we need money to take care of things, but the love, like, I got to have it because you worship it so that you can gloat on others. It's material greed. Greed is disambiguation as well. So let's go into the scriptures so that you won't go into your feelings. And let's go one by one. Let's look at the first one on covetousness, Colossians 3 and 5. This is what our responsibility should be according to the apostles' doctrine based on the law. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. This is one of the reasons why we fast. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is, you see how that is? Covetousness is greed. I'm not going to put a lot of emphasis on the other ones I read. I'm going to let you look them up in your spare time. I want to stay focused on covetousness. Covetousness becomes so strong with its disambiguity in your life that it becomes idolatry, that you seek it, you worship it, and feel you've got to have it, and it takes precedence over the word, the laws, and the Most High. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, you know what that is, just split the words into two, nor unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater. You see how that's synonymous? They go hand in hand. And both of these fall within the Ten Commandments, where he says that we should not have any idols before him. And then to covet is the tenth commandment, the last one. The first one is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then the last one is thou shalt not covet. But listen, Ephesians 5 and 5 is telling you who's not going into the kingdom. You're not going to heaven. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going to heaven. Y'all waiting for first day of the week, Sunday, to go in there shouting and got each other thinking y'all going to heaven. And you're not going if you're knowingly breaking these commandments and laws and defying the Most High and hating the people that are keeping the laws. You're not going. Talking about you living under grace. You don't have grace. You know what the thing is now? A lot of people know the truth and they know what's wrong, but they don't want to hear it and they don't want to conform to it. I saw a cartoon or a little box picture that was very interesting. But it's not that people don't know the truth now. They're running and hiding from the truth because they know once it's on them, it's a weight and the onus is upon them and you must change. So I don't want to hear it because ignorance is bliss. But you're going to hear it today. Ephesians 5 and 5 lets you know that you who are coveting, I want this, I want that, I want what he has, I want what she has, I want his wife, I want her husband, I want that. You're not going to the kingdom. Moving along, Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Selah, pause. Many of you get on the phone and text covetous conversation about what you want, what you envy, what you want to get. You need to check yourself, even in aspiring to change the nature of your relationship. And I don't know why this comes to mind, but some of you start coveting a different type of spouse. I am sick of this Negro. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And it's because you see it on TV. Wish I had a man that would buy me a car like that. I wish I had a woman that acted like that. How often do you get caught up in that conversation with your partners or with your girlfriends? Hebrews 13 and 5 is saying, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you not understand that he's saying where you are and what you have is based upon what I already knew, and I put eternal in the heavens. I will change your situation when I'm ready to. The only thing you need to worry about is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's go to the next one. Or do you need more time to meditate on that right there? You're going to learn today. Luke 12, 15 through 21. And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, that goes on through 21. I could read more. Let me go for it, because y'all need more. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, a hoarder. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I'm set. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But the Most High said unto him, fool, all that stuff you done got put up, planning your meals and your feasts and festivals, and you think you set. The Most High said, fool, this night thy soul shall be quiet of thee. You stacked up this money, the 401k, got your car, your house. You think you got it going on. Most High said, you ain't even going to enjoy it. Most High called him, he said, fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so he layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward the Most High. I don't care how much you have, it won't get you closer to the Father. And everything you've stored up, your 401k, your savings with your greedy butt, so you could gloat in front of your family and your friends and say, I got money, what you got? He'll take you and your heart will stop beating in a second. And all that money's going to the government or to your family and friends. Ignorance precedes you. I'm moving on. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For as a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. That's as far as you saying, oh, honey, I want a house just like theirs. You don't go to somebody's house to look and see how you want to have your house and all that. Just enjoy life and enjoy what the Most High has given you and where he places you. Your priority should be these commandments and laws. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. I want a wife like that, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or ass, nor anything that thy neighbors, anything he possesses. And so to make it relevant today as a blueprint, meaning his company, his workers, his maid, the people that service him, go and say, I'm going to get that, I'm going to have that. No, that's not what you do. He pushing a Bentley, a Benz, and you start getting so caught up into greed and lust that you're trying to work three or four jobs so you can get a Bentley and Benz, and you feel like you can go to lunch with him now and say, yeah, what? Where are your priorities in life? Not really understanding that tomorrow's not promised to you and that the Most High could tap you on the chest and your heart stop beating in an eighth of a second. You'll be dead. He don't owe you the next footstep you take. Who told you you got that coming? Arrogant we are. Takes the Ruach HaKodosh, the Holy Spirit, to break you down. All praises to Ahayah. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what we read in 1 John 2:3 as well. So if you're loving this world and trying to get your hands on all the accoutrements of the world, nah, the love of the Father's not in you. As you draw close to him, trust me, brothers and sisters, he will bless you. But you know what? Your mindset will be to the point like, I don't need this. Yeah, I got it, but I'll light a match to it today, and I can walk away from it when I get ready. I'll let you know that he can bless you. He can give you the desires of your heart, but you best believe my heart is not in the possession of these things. My heart is in his hands. And if you don't get there, then you will never have nothing for your family. He wants you to be able to take care of your family, but your heart and mind has to be in his hands. You have to be like King Solomon. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And allow him to direct your path. I've got one more for you before we move on to the lesson. Cry out louder. And that is, for the love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10, is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith themselves through with many sorrows. More money, more problems. That's exactly what it means. Because you have fallen in love with the love of money. So we need to come into the knowledge of that and understand that. When we come back, we're going to go into, we're going to go into the lesson. I'm just going to take a 1 minute break. Yeah, just a 1 minute break I'm going to take, and then we're going to go into Cry Out Louder.
This is Truth Music, the Truth Movement. Movement. Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gonna bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us. Take our names away, but couldn't shake us. Now pray to the Most High with all your might. What's going on? We didn't realize.
Lie to us, Christians lie to us. Read the Bible, the history is tied to us. Nobody cried for us, Messiah died for us. Ask the saints, all of them cry for us at last. The truth has finally come out, we the people of the Bible. This is no doubt, can these bones live? I am living proof and baffled. Why my people hate the truth? False religions, false idols, false titles. This is Truth Music, not elementary recitals. Feel this, y'all, get close to the speaker. The world stresses me when I'm feeling weaker. Let it sink down deep, deep into your mental. Truth gets so hot it overheats. Instrumentals, we from the big cities plus the big lights. What a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
Long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us. Take our names away, but couldn't take us. Now pray to the Most High with all your might. What a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
Close your eyes, picture 400 years of slavery. The same people had a lifetime full of bravery, hung in trees just like the Savior. Had to pick up the pen and put the truth down on paper. And if you don't believe me, check out the script. Deuteronomy 28 and 68, that's a tip on who was brung to the U.S. on slave ships. Learn real history, not just BS. Heretics, governments, politicians making satanic decisions. Walt Disney turning kids into magicians. But now, truth is coming out in these last days. Put the strong drink down and throw away your haze. Plagues, don't worry, the Most High will bring them. You want to know whose address is from the kingdom? We from the big cities, plus the big lies. What a feeling, y'all, we the Israelites.
Long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us. Take our names away, but couldn't take us. Now pray to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High. You know I got mad love for that song, especially on the Shabbat. What a feeling to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's so liberating. And you know why it's so liberating? Because I am no longer caught up into tradition or traditions of men. I don't have to get my suit ready and my wife get her church hat ready on Saturday night for first Sunday and make sure it's all white. And I'm no longer under religious bondage. You look up the definition of religion that was created to cripple our people and enslave our people and keep them away from the knowledge of the truth, which is why we have so many different denominations, but nothing that pertains to our culture. What you worship was heaved upon you with whips, chains, and iron around your neck. according to Deuteronomy 28. And where the Spirit of the Most High is, there is liberty and freedom. All praises be unto the Most High. Cry out louder, Isaiah 58 says. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. His people, the scripture says, Israel, the only family, the only people I have ever known in the earth, he has a chosen people. They are his saints, and that's according to Psalms 148. The saints are Israel, the house of Jacob. And we must cry out loud to Jacob and Israel. Never be afraid. Go to Ezekiel, the third chapter. I know you got your Bible, those of you listening in the archives and those of you listening live, because I'm talking to my watchmen today, those that are standing strong and know that their job is to prophesy into the wind. That's what we're doing, and we shall do. Let's look at what Ezekiel, what happened with him. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that, this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. How many of you, when you first came into the knowledge of the truth, especially you Levites and my exhorters and prophets and preachers, you saw that the Most High brought this truth to you, and he told you, go ahead, get more. And you had such a zeal and excitement to continue to learn more. You couldn't get your hands on enough information. You couldn't even sleep at night. And he's telling Ezekiel in 3:1, eat the whole roll and then go speak unto the house of Israel. Go tell your people. Listen to what happened to Ezekiel. See if you can bear witness with his life. So Ezekiel said in 3:2, so I opened my mouth and he calls me to eat that roll. He calls me to understand this truth, this knowledge. He calls me to just take it in. Everywhere I went and looked, I began to see things. My eyes were open. Ezekiel 3:3, and he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll. Get as much information as you can. Fill thy bowels with this roll I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Ezekiel 3:4, and he said unto me, son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. That is so key. And his words would be the words that are written in the scriptures that these people in these churches are telling you that are done away with. It's so emphatic that we speak the scriptures when we're teaching and talking to people. You must be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in you, but it shouldn't ever be your words. It should be scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. If somebody asks you a question, you should never come back with something off the top of your head. You should know a precept to answer that question so that only the Most High will get the credit and illuminate and awaken his people. This is what we see happening to Ezekiel. So he had this word in him, had learned his precepts. The Most High put this in him. And he said, go to my people and speak my words unto them. And listen to what he said in 3:5. Because I'm not sending you to just anybody. He said, for thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Letting him know his priority was not to another nation, to another race, to a foreigner that spoke another language. His priority was to his people that spoke and understood his language. Verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Do you hear what he's saying in 6? If he had sent him to these other nations, they would have been more inclined to hear the message of the Most High. The Most High already knew that. He said, but your assignment, your job is I'm sending you to your people. And let's talk about how it is when you deal
with your people, Ezekiel 3:7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Do you think it's strange that you put a post on Facebook and everybody who's not in this truth wants to cuss you out and say you drunk, high, going to hell, have lost your mind, and that you smoking something else? Do you think it's strange because you stopped keeping these pagan holidays and you don't come to the family gatherings no more that they saying you have lost your mind and something strange has happened? Do you think it's wild that they all looking at you funny because you're not acting like an imbecile according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, under the curses, and you're an astonishment and amazement to other races, and they looking at you because you got pink hair, the wildest dress on, and you do a lot of buffoonery and coonery, that you have broke out of the status quo, so now you strange? This is what 7 is talking about, Ezekiel 3:7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they won't even hearken unto me. The Most High said, listen, they're not going to listen to you because they won't even listen to me. I didn't even want them to have a king, but they wanted a king so bad in the book of Samuel, you see. I gave them statutes and laws and told them to keep them, and they wouldn't keep them, so they're under the curses. They won't even listen to me, so don't think it's strange that they're not going to listen to you. Our Messiah, the HaMashiach, who you call Jesus Christ, told us that this word is like a sword that comes to pierce asunder and divide, separate family members from family members, spouse from unbelieving spouse. Ezekiel 3:7, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent. What does that mean? I mean stiff of forehead and hard of heart. They are impudent and hard-hearted, all of Israel. Ezekiel 3:8, but listen to what happened to Ezekiel. And this is why I said the Most High don't call no punks, no chumps. This is why you wonder why you stand out and people are intimidated by you. Because those who he gives the truth, he equips. Because he knows what it takes to deal with your people. Ezekiel 3:8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces. They'll think twice before they come at you, because they can see in your face and in your eyes that you got that flame of fire in your eyes. You have confidence in what you're preaching and teaching. You believe it, and the Most High has made your face strong so you can stand against him and say what? You don't understand that aspect. You can't be no punk in this. And he is strengthening you in character and in your staunchness. Ezekiel 3:8, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their forehead. Verse 9, as an adamant harder than flint, meaning as a rock, as a strong, robust, stronger than flint, have I made your forehead. So don't even be afraid. He said in verse 9, fear them not. The people that are talking about you, getting together in circles, pray against you, praying witchcraft over you, no matter what they do, he said, fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. Don't even care about how they look. Are you serious? Do you think I care about the way you looking? These people will see a demon and run. These people scared of the devil. They give the devil more credence and power than they do the Messiah. These people scared of their own shadow. These people sleep with a nightlight on. Verse 9, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. All of Israel he's talking about. Your nature, because he made you in his image, you think you all that. You're supposed to take what he's given you and be submitted to him and his laws. And sometimes he said, I repent that I made man. I repent that I made these people my image. I should kill all of them. Moses talked him out of it.
Ezekiel 3:10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Verse 11, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus said the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. This is us in, we're speaking to people that are in our final captivity, trying to warn them before they go to hell. Trust me, brothers and sisters, they will stand before the Most High, and he will remind them when you came a-knocking at their door, trying to tell them to put that pork sandwich down, start worshiping on the Shabbat, and to walk away from your Sunday paganistic attitude to worship. Those words will haunt them when they are in the afterlife. He said, do it whether they want to hear it or not. You just do it with the words I put in your mouth. The precepts that you're learning, speak them. Don't matter if they receive it, I want to hear it. I give the increase. Ezekiel 3:12. Then the Spirit took me up. This is so good. After he had heard, after the Most High put his word in him, he learned all these precepts, and he got strong in the Messiah point. Verse 12 tells us this. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Most High from his place. So he took him up into that different dimension, that realm where the Ruach HaKodosh and the angels are, and allowed him to. Now, many of you don't even realize, and I'm going to say this, that you have had encounters with the Most High in dreams and visions where he has tried to change you and reveal things unto you. I know you're saying to me right now, what are you talking about? Let me show you something. I'm about to show you what I'm talking about. You can find out more about this in the book of Job, where, let me pull it up real quick. This is so important. I need you to understand this. This is why you don't go to bed drunk. This is why you don't go to bed not. This is so crucial. Let me see if I can hurry up and find this and stick with the lesson. I believe I want Job 33. Job 33 and 15. In a dream. Verse 14. Job 33 and 14. Listen to this. For the Most High speaketh once, yea, twice, yea, yet man perceiveth it not. Job 33 and 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, verse 16, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Job 33 and 15 and 16 is telling you that sometimes he can't even get your attention during the day to talk to you. So when you fall asleep and you're in a deep sleep at night, he speaks to you, shows you things, takes you up in the spirit. You don't even understand this about your flesh being asleep, but your spirit and soul not being asleep, and him, your spirit being able to go into these heavens. He opens, 33 and 16, Job 33 and 16, he openeth the ears of men, and he puts instruction inside of you while you're asleep. You wake up and it's a whole new day. You don't even understand why you feel the way you feel, why you're doing what you're doing, and everything around you has changed and transformed, because he has changed everything about the aspect and instructions of your life while you were asleep. You don't even know what you, who you're serving and what's going on here in the earth. When you wake up and everything seems renewed or different, or your assignment is different, or you've been set free from something, or he's taken something away from you because he has purpose in your life, because of Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before you were formed in the belly, called you and sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. You may have put things on your life, covetousness and different sins, that he has to erase to accomplish purpose, because he will get the last say so. That is so mind-blowing to me. Back to Ezekiel 3 and 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Most High from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of great rushing. Verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went into bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Most High was strong upon me. Verse 15, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I said, where I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them for 7 days. Couldn't even see him. In the spirit, he was there. It took him there. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Most High came unto me, saying, 17, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me, which is my title, cry out louder. Ezekiel 3 and 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Listen, brothers and sisters, I need you to understand this part right here. Let me put emphasis on this. Ezekiel 3 and 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, if you don't tell him that he's going to die in his ways, well, no, why are you scared to tell these law-breaking, pork-eating, paganistic folks that you're going to die in your ways? You whoremonger, you fornicator, you homosexual. You're going to die and go to hell. If you don't warn them, and I show you, verse 18, you don't give him warning nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, listen to what's going to happen. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at thine hand. You're going to be judged for not having opened your mouth and warned them and told them. Brothers and sisters, do you see why you can't be a person without the testicular fortitude, the guts, or the shoulders, or the hard forehead to do this? This is why he only calls certain people. You've got to be willing to tell people and warn them, because if you don't, the blood is going to be on your hands. You have got to preach this and tell this and put it out there and let it be known at whatever cost. Cry out louder. All praises. Ezekiel 3:19. Hear me closely. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Don't that feel good when you get it off you? If the Most High put it on your chest, you got to say it with your chest and get it off your chest and let them know. You keep it up, you're going to die and go to hell. Repent and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. That only took that took less than 5 seconds to deliver my soul and to get the blood off my hands. And you think I'm not going to tell somebody? I'm just going to bite my tongue and say whatever, and it's on you? No, you can't do that. You can't just walk away and say whatever. You got to tell them. You got to repent. You can't, if the Most High pricks it on your heart and reveals something to you and shows it to you, you got to tell him. And guess what? Chances are he is going to show you and tell you. Why? One of my newest favorite scriptures, Ecclesiastes 8 and 5. I love this scripture now. I can't get away from it. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, closely. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 8 and 5 says this. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. All praises. And a wise man's heart. He goes on to say that those who have the commandments will receive wisdom. He says, a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Coming into the knowledge of the law, statutes, and commandments, that wisdom that comes upon you will give you the ability to discern time and judgment.
you will have discernment to understand judgment. So he will prick your heart to cause you to know when judgment is about to come upon somebody. What does that bring you back to? Well, let me tell you again, watchmen. If thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, not from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you, thou hast delivered thy soul. But if you don't tell him, verse 18, his blood will I require at thine hand. You understand? I'm just emphasizing this because this is so crucial. Ezekiel 3 and 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. This is talking about someone who's come into the knowledge of the truth and you turn from it and go back into the world. The Most High will put something in your way, HIV, cancer, sickness. You're going to die. Verse 20, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. This is where you see a lot of folks repenting on their deathbed and they don't get healed. It is not the Most High's will. But his mercy and grace allows them to repent and get it right. But judgment has already ensued. Now, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, listen to this. If you don't warn him while he's dying, get him to repent, he's going to die in his sin. And this is what's going to happen. Everything he turned from that he did, good. It says, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not even be remembered. And the blood I'm going to require at your hand. Do you understand how much responsibility you have now? You sitting around here talking about, I'm an Israelite. I got the truth. We Hebrews. You put on your little tzitzits and you put on your mitres. You got on your head covering and you got four or five different head coverings. You got your fringes on. You got your purple and your borders of blue. And you do, man, are you doing this right here? Because it's going to be blood at your hand. You're missing the point. Exactly. Ezekiel 3 and 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall utterly live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. This is you warning your brothers and sisters who are like saying, I'm getting ready to go commit adultery. I'm just getting ready to go fornicate. I'm just about to go back into the world. I'm just about to just break any law I can get my hands on because I'm just pissed off with the world right now. We have a duty to warn our people of the seriousness, contemplation of those actions. Ezekiel 3 and 22. And the hand of the Most High was there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. This is why it's so key to stay close to the Most High through fasting and prayer. What I didn't finish in Isaiah 58 is that it goes into fasting. And it's so indicative to a victorious life in him. Ezekiel 3 and 23, then I arose and went forth into the plain. And behold, the glory of the Most High stood there as the glory which I saw by the river of Kabar. And I fell on my face. When is the last time you've experienced the glory to that degree and you fell on your face in your home? There's no glory of the Lord in your home. The glory of the great Ahaya, Heyah, is not in your home. There's no, he don't want to dwell in your house. Angels don't want to dwell there because your house is unclean. You haven't even been in his presence. Many of you haven't even experienced the presence of the Most High. You can't do nothing but fall on your face. Ezekiel 3 and 24. Then the Spirit entered into me. That is the Ruach HaKadosh. In Ezekiel 3 and 24, the Old Testament, before Acts, the second chapter, before the 70 were breathed on by the Messiah. This is Ezekiel 3 and 24. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me. That Ruach HaKadosh was in my body and began to speak with me and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. All praises. It's what we do on the Shabbat. Shut ourselves in our house that we might be filled and hear from the Most High and receive our instructions that we might continue in this captivity as we're one day closer to paradise and the end of the Gentile rule.
That is so powerful. Ezekiel 3:24. The Ruach HaKadosh came into him as he laid postured on his face, worshiping and praising in his house. Well, praising and worshiping where he was, and then told him to go lock up in the house. Once the Spirit got inside of him, began to talk to him from within. Ezekiel 3:25. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands on thee, they shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. They're going to talk about you. They're going to try to wrap you up with your words, your past, things that you said and done. But Ezekiel 3:26, he says, and I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. There's going to be times when he's not going to have you say nothing, knowing who they are. Verse 27, but when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and then thou shalt say unto them, thus said the Most High, Yah, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. So everybody not going to hear it. Everybody not going to take it on. But he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And let it fall on who it's going to fall on. For two-thirds will be destroyed. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3. So you can better understand that you've got to cry out louder. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Before we get ready to close out, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. That is where we are, that we must speak out. It's only a few that's going to get it. I don't care if I'm preaching, teaching, using social media. If only two or three, if I only get a witness from two or three, I've done my job. I'm warning the wicked. Not looking for no kudos. I need no pats on the back. And this is the seriousness of where we stand. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we not in the last days? We can't even talk about a prophecy being fulfilled without another one being fulfilled as we open our mouths or set ourselves to talk about it. Something's happening almost every hour. So much going on in the earth, you can't even keep up. And Satan's trying to throw you off your game and have you in fear. I'm not in fear. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, this being the last days. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means that they are homosexuals. They have fallen in love with themselves. They love what they see when they see in the mirror, so much so that that's what they want to hold on to. They have fallen in love with every aspect of themselves. And then listen to it. This ties into the law, what I just read. They're covetous in the last days. Boasters, always bragging, pride. Everybody you see in the streets thinks they somebody, full of pride. Blasphemers. We got people blaspheming the Most High through movies and books and television and using the word that I am. It's everywhere. Disobedient to parents. This is talking about children. This ain't talking about your grown ass, because the fact of the matter is your parents think you're probably crazy because you're into the knowledge of the truth. And if they're trying to get you to break these commandments, that is not disobedient to parents. It's talking about those that are of a childly age and their parents are trying to bring them up in the truth, and children that defy this word and want to be like the world. Unthankful. How many people you already know that ain't grateful for nothing, can't even say thank you? Unholy. Many of you so-called awakened Hebrews, you're not holy. You're not Kodesh. You're not set apart. You just go to the little meeting and gatherings on Saturday just like Sunday church, they go. But none of you are set apart. None of you are sanctified, set apart, holy, living holy. Holiness without, no man shall see the Most High. Verse 3, without natural affection. Nobody really cares for people like they used to. They'll see you getting beat down in the streets and keep on walking. Truce breakers, nobody keeps a promise. Contracts are broken. People are made to stab you in the back. False accusers. gossip and lies are so prevalent and pervasive in our society that most of the TV talk shows are about gossip, and people only want to find out gossip about you, and people want to tear you down daily when you walk out that door. That is the whole goal of the majority of people out here in society, is to find some gossip about you. False accusers. And that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What else is going on in the final days? Incontinent. That means having no or insufficient voluntary control over urination and defecation. And it pretty much means that you lack self-restraint. You're uncontrolled. How many people are out of control? This is why a lot of our people getting shot down in the streets. You can't control your mouth, your tongue. Nobody can control their temper and attitude no more. This is what was prophesied would happen. Everybody ready to go off. People grabbing guns quickly. There is no more self-control. Screwing animals, screwing the same sex, just trying, there's just no more self-control. It's prophesied. And this one is so real. Despisers of those that are good. Can't stand to see someone who's doing it right, living right, living holy, keeping these commandments, dressing in modest apparel, don't have her breasts all out, not switching and trying to screw everything moving, men not trying to be this way. These people despise people that are good. 2 Timothy 3 and 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of the Most High. We already know that this world is consumed with the next party, the next festival, the best restaurant, the most drink, the best weed, getting turned up. And this is what we see everywhere, too, in this last hour. Having a form of godliness, meaning I will go through the ritualistic aspects of traditions and religion, and I can act like I'm godly, but I don't have the power of the laws, the Ruach HaKadosh, or the discipline of the commandments in my life. So therefore, they're denying the power thereof. And he said, from these people, turn away, stay away from the hypocrites. Because these are the ones that come and lead silly women captive. They're always acting like they're learning something, but they're never coming into the knowledge of the truth. They're always picking up some type of book. Tell me, did you hear about this? They're learning the knowledge of wickedness, but not truth. Knowing that these are the times we live in, you have to abide in Ezekiel 3, because even though you've come into the truth, you've got to keep the blood off your hands by warning our people and telling our people if they're wrong. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how much they may not ever call you again or like you. You have delivered your soul. But if the Most High shows you and you don't tell them, for the sake of friendship, blood will be on your hands when they die in their wickedness, because they won't change. The onus is upon you. If you're going to do this, you got to do it, and you got to do it right, and you got to do it for real. You can't play with the Most High. You are a soldier in the army of the Most High. Hey-yah, Shah, hey-yah, all praises to the Most High, yah. Hallelujah. That's our responsibility. That's where we are, brothers and sisters. That's where I stand. You better ask me if I can care 2 cents about what somebody's got to say about where I stand, because I didn't choose him. He chose me. And that does not mean that where you are, I got my walk, you got your walk. No, you're walking in lies because you're not keeping the law, and I'm here to tell you about yourself. You're like my forefathers who's got me in this predicament. You're preaching that this is okay. You're probably struggling with your homosexuality and taking pharmakia, your drugs, and your adultery. And that's why you love grace and mercy and you preach it so much, because you can't stop sinning and you have no self-control. You're incontinent. Not talking about that madness. There's only one truth. Don't listen to somebody telling you that everybody has their own truth. That is a bold-faced lie. Our Messiah is the way, the truth, and the life. And he kept these holy days. He didn't keep no Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter, and 4th of July, and New Year's. He kept Passover. He kept the Feast of Dedication.
all praises to the Most High. So I am your brother, Elder V, and I'm getting ready to leave you with this. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey and not a destination. To my brothers and sisters, Kwam Yasha Allah, in our Hebrew tongue, which means rise, Israel. Take up your cross and walk, and let's cry out even louder. It's required of you, especially if you're going to say that he has awoken me. He has awakened me to the truth. You've got some responsibilities, brothers and sisters. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But you can win. We have won. Satan knows his end. Don't you ever forget that when our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you call Jesus the Christ, got off that boat and the man was filled with the legions of demons, them demons cried out to him and said, have you come to torment us before our time? They know that there's a time coming when it's all over. And they were scared. They said, don't we have more time? They know they're running out of time. They're scared of you, especially if you do your job. All praises to the Most High. So I want to say Shabbat Shalom, Barakathah, Todah Rabbah for listening. Kwam Yasha Allah. Enjoy the rest of Shabbat. Be refreshed, be strengthened for the task at hand.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've said never.